Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavana Robert Schreiber.
Hello, I am. Oh, that's right. Lisa's not here. I'm used to her going first. I'm Shavana Robert Schreiber, co-host, the other half of Culture Club HTX. We are without our beloved Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman today, but in her place, we have the magic. No, that's magical. You're over there. Magical's always here. We have the amazing James Brown, Jay Beezy. How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me here. So excited to be here. I almost changed my name to James Holland Nelson Brown.
Oh, you should.
Oh.
Okay. That makes it easier for me because I refer to Lisa as an acronym all the time.
Okay.
And so now that makes, I'll just replace the L with the J. Perfect.
There we go. We want to make this easy for you.
Well, you know, because I appreciate that. So before we get too far in the show, I'll wait to give the preamble of who you are. The man, the myth, the legend, when we interview you in the business segment. But for now, CJ's Corner Sports. So, first of all, I don't know this, because you know what? As long as we've been friends, we've never talked about this. What is your stance, generally speaking, on the Houston Texans?
To be candid, I am excited about where they are now, where they're going for 3 years ago. I wasn't too thrilled with what they were doing,
okay,
with where they were going, with some of the decisions they had made. But now I'm excited. I'm a big culture guy, so I'm excited about what's going on with Coach Ryan's, with CJ. I'm no GM and I'm no coach like you all, but
well, you know, Coach Nelson isn't here.
Right. But I'm the GM. You're the GM. Yeah. Right. I said I'm no GM, right. Okay. Coach Nelson isn't here, but I'll fill in. But I am a Texans fan, even though they were really close to losing me for a minute.
Okay, well, you know what? This is good. You have a long-term view, unlike Lisa, because they have been, well, first of all, I predicted wrongly that we were going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, hey, I admit when I am off base, and I was completely off base with that one.
When? Last good. Year?
No, this year. I know.
Oh, no, it's not over.
Oh, okay, say more.
No, it's not over.
Say more.
You dive right into it. So we are currently 6-4. We're leading the division. Our schedule is favorable going forward. We are not out of this thing at all. Believe that. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. We still have a chance. Now, there are some teams that we play tomorrow. I won't call names, north of us, who have no chance, but we have a chance to be in the
game. I was going to say, wait a minute. You sound like a Cowboys fan because, you know, they have hope. The Cowboys fans have been going to Super Bowl since I was born.
Correct.
And they haven't yet.
Right. But they have no chance, compared to their opinion, I'm sure.
Okay.
They don't have a chance. The Houston Texans?
Oh, you got a chance?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You're going to say hell? You can say hell.
No, I'm going to rush.
That's all good.
You know,
okay.
This is about, I want to, you know.
Well, I'll say this. So last week, we were, so me, Lisa, and Rusty, who is our football husband, she let me join their, I guess, is that a throuple? Magical, is that a throuple? When you have, what?
Yeah.
Is this a throuple? Okay.
Yeah.
So Lisa and Rusty were football spouses because Sue, Rusty's real spouse, doesn't like to go to the game. So then Lisa let me join. So now it's me, Lisa and Rusty. And so we were texting, thinking, yep, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And then, yeah, I went to bed and then I woke up and it was like all these sad face emojis in my text thread because we didn't make it.
Yeah.
But you think we still have a chance? This is great.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
We're going to make the playoffs. Cool. My personal opinion, and statistically, I think we're at 95% chance of making the playoffs.
Okay.
One thing is for sure. You can't go to the Super Bowl without making the playoffs.
Well, true facts.
So if we do that, we have a chance. And we have a good chance because Super Bowl is about momentum. It's about peaking at the right time. Don't let these two little games get you all flustered.
What about those other two? Not the most immediate.
There's some
two.
Good teams, though.
Okay.
We haven't. Detroit was a is a good team, period. And to it shouldn't have happened. It happened. We're going to learn from it. We're going to become better for it.
Okay.
We're going to peak at the right time. We still have more than a fighter's chance.
If I didn't know any better, I would think you were a motivational speaker, my friend. I mean, I feel fired up. I'm ready to put some pads on and go play. I mean, so well, CJ.
Your Hall of Fame basketball.
Pads on? I mean, because you know I'm like Bo Jackson. Did you not know that?
I'm
like Bo Jackson. I'm kind of like Bo Jackson.
Let's just do it then.
Magical. Why are you giggling? I am. I'm kind of like Bo Jackson. No, but seriously. So it all started to go south when CJ started doing the arm cross thing. So, you know, I think you're probably right. It's not over until it's over. We do know enough to know that. And I think that CJ, though, it feels like he hadn't really gotten his groove, like go to the Super Bowl groove. But you know what? Maybe he's turning the corner.
So here's what we know.
Okay.
Rookie quarterbacks always have it easier because there's no film on them. Mm. They had a year worth of film to study CJ's, learn his tendencies. And so when they come back, now he has to make the adjustment.
Oh.
And this is when it takes place. So, yes.
Good insight.
They have film on him. They know his tendencies. They know play calling. And so now Coach Ryan is going to go in, make the adjustment. CJ, smart, great. I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but everybody loves him. Smart, brilliant. He's going to make the adjustment that he needs to make the changes. We're not necessarily getting beat as much as we're beating ourselves, and that's always
right.
Correctable.
No, this is true. You're right about that.
Now, we were going out getting taken to the woodshed every week. That'll be one thing, but we are not.
Taken to the woodshed. I don't know that one. Does that mean you're getting beat?
Yeah, taken out back and yeah.
And, oh, like a spanked?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, got it. Yeah. You got to speak
plain. Kind of like what's going to happen Monday.
Okay, you got to speak plain to me. Okay, well, you know what? I feel good about this. Thanks. Texans, CJ, D'Amico, hope you're listening. This is good. I do. I actually feel good about this. Okay, I'm glad, because Lisa would have a very different opinion, I can assure you. Speaking of sports, let's talk about the Houston Sports Authority. So lots of changes, lots of shakeups happening there. So obviously you've been in and around Houston for long enough. You understand the changes that have happened. So we have this new chairperson, Juan Garcia, who turns out he's the first Hispanic chairman of the Houston, the Harris County Sports Authority. What do we think? What do we know? What are your thoughts? This is not a trick question.
I have ties to the Sports Authority. Ben, in my previous career, I worked with them on several sporting events, from Super Bowls to Final Fours to youth events. And so what they've brought to the city, we've worked together and partnered, tremendous asset. What's happened over the last several months, I don't know. When people make decisions, things happen. But Mr. Garcia seems to be a tremendous, tremendous community person. When you think about what he's done with the rodeo, going from first serving as a legal advisory at first, and then moving on to the Tejano Day, and then
which is a big event at the rodeo.
That's typically the largest attended event. And then for him to go from that to being the first Hispanic on the executive committee for the rodeo.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Which is tremendous. And then him being appointed to the Sports Authority. You know, you can't help but when we're in a great place in sports, we have World Cup coming up. Chris Kennedy has just been named interim executive at the Sports Authority. He's also the president of the 2026 World Cup bid.
Yes.
So, you know, it's exciting times for Houston.
I think so, too. I mean, I feel like we're at this transition, and I've been saying this, magical fact checker, you can check the facts on this, that we are really at this, what I'd like to call this golden moment in Houston sports. And, you know, not every day is a good day, but on the whole, I really do. And I feel like, I mean, after, I think Janice was at the Sports Authority, Harris County Sports Authority, for 18 years or something like that.
She's been there since, I think, 2006 or so. I was there the day she came in when they announced.
Okay,
so,
and then the chairperson was there for about the same amount of time.
Kenny Freeman,
so this is just a change. This is a new page. We're writing a new chapter.
The only thing that's constant is change.
That's right. We're writing a new chapter.
We had a good run. I mean, I'm excited about where we are. You know, we are one of the cities that has some of the best venues in the country.
And coming from you, I actually believe that, considering your prior career. I mean, you actually do know venues. And so, okay, this is good. Yeah. And, you know, no pressure, Mr. Garcia, but the World Cup I mean, that is a huge event to be just coming into your tenure on. But, hey.
We've done big events. It's what we do.
Are you the mayor?
I listen to the mayor's press conference, and I used to work. Okay. You know, I know some.
You know some things.
I know some things. Okay. I know some people.
Okay.
But big events don't come down to one person.
That's right.
And this committee has been in place to bring World Cup here for several years.
That's right.
And so it's becoming popular now, and we still have to 26, but the venue's not going to change. Mm-hmm. Our energy and professionalism when it comes to major events is not going to change. Mm-hmm. So we expect them to come right on in and make it bigger and better than what it's been, because that's who we are. That's
well,
what we
and
do.
It's interesting because I had a meeting earlier this week with someone, with a group, and we were talking about their initiatives related to the World Cup and how they can partner with some other key folks in their initiatives related to the World Cup. And so to your point, I mean, the professionalism, the strategy is already in place. So again, this is the golden era of Houston sports. Y'all are welcome, by the way, because I did say that a long time ago.
Yes.
Just want to put that out there.
Well, thank you.
Just, yeah, y'all are welcome.
Just spread the word. Let everybody
know. So what do we think about the Houston Dynamo with their, they parted ways, one of their highest play Major League Soccer earners. What do we think? Do we think about it? You know, when people ask me, what do I think? It's, you know, I sometimes say, I don't. And they like look very confused. I'm like, yeah, I don't think about that.
I don't.
But, okay.
But we're in the sports world,
yep,
and business is business.
That's right.
They put a lot of money into the Dynamo.
Hector. Yeah, it's Hector who's not going to be renewed.
Right. He's not going to be renewed. And they have, you know, they have salary caps they have to meet. And Mr. Seagal or Ted Seagal, the owner, you know, he has high expectations. And it looks like the trend in soccer is moving away from big personalities to how do we build a cohesive team. It's just like in corporate America. Do you want a cohesive team or do you want one star? We want teams that can win, and that's what he's trying to do. That's the culture he's trying to bring. That's his background. That's what he wants to do, and we totally understand it. If you get paid top dollar, then the expectation is that you're going to be available, and the best ability is availability. And if you're not, then you can't get paid above and beyond.
Well, and you mentioned culture now twice, and so I feel like that's the theme. I think the theme is, yeah, for sure, like the culture of teams, not just in Major League Soccer, but also in football and basketball. I do think that we've shifted from this one superstar to we need teams that work together, that can weather the ups and downs and injuries, et cetera. And so, yeah, so good. You know, I guess good job, Dynamo.
Yes.
For running a business, like a business, handling your business. And with that, we'll be back.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
Drop the beat, Jay.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Siobhana Robert-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here today with my other half,
James Holland-Nelson Brown Jr.
I love it. You do. That's great. Okay, so I know who you are. And in our business segment, we're going to give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about you. And so before we get to some questions I've prepared, let's talk about. So you're a professional speaker, voiceover artist, business coach, all around bad. You know what? Can you say that word on air magical?
No.
Okay. All around. You know what? A former All-American track athlete who transitioned from National Sales, we talked a little bit about that earlier, to founding the Exchange Zone.
Yeah.
I know what that means because I know the story, but for people who don't know the story, talk to us a little bit about what does the Exchange Zone mean, and then we'll get into what you're doing as a founder of the Exchange Zone.
Okay, I'll make this as quick. Just follow me here. If you're familiar with a track at all, especially the 4x100-meter relay, and a track, there are areas where the first leg hands off to the second leg to third leg to fourth leg. And that area is a 30-meter area where the baton is passed. That area is called the exchange zone. What we realized is that if we drop the baton or miss the exchange zone, we are disqualified.
Mm.
I don't like disconnection. So we make sure in the exchange zone that we do everything that we can to remain connected. It's about keeping the baton off the track. Don't be like the men's Olympic 4x100 meter team where you have the best of the world and get disqualified.
I was just about to say that.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not passionate about that at all.
We're tracking. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Tracking,
yeah,
track.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
I like that. I'm going to have to use that.
So you founded the exchange zone, was it 5 years ago now or more?
I started speaking, I gave my first professional speech in 18. The Exchange Zone came to fruition through a colleague, Glenn, if you ever listen to this, thanks. We were having lunch. He was like, you ran track? I said, yes. He said, you never talk about it. I said, everybody's All-American. He said, fool, everybody's not All-American. And then they said, what problems do you solve? And I realized after some deep diving that I don't like disconnection because mm-hmm. it's just like the Exchange Zone. And you become disqualified. You can't, not only can you not win, you can't even complete the race. So what do we do to make sure that we remain connected? Don't get disqualified.
Don't get disqualified. And you said this earlier when we talked about culture and that connection, making the connect, like
right.
that's what I think of. And so
right.
no wonder. So at the Exchange Zone, when you're in action, when you're working with your clients, what exactly are you going in to help them do? I know obviously you're speaking to their sales teams, to their teams in general, executive teams. What is it that you're talking to them about and what are you helping them do?
So a lot of it does come down to, at the end of the day, how do we stay connected? So whether that's sales, customer service, business relationships, internal, external clients, mm-hmm. leadership. You know, I was talking to a group recently about employee retention. That's about disconnection, because what you're saying you do and what you actually do are two different things, which causes this great resignation. But the great brands, the companies that always show up on the best places to work, don't have those problems because they're consistent and they remain connected and adjust to the people, their internal customers, their partners, their staff, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
Because they're your greatest asset. They're
That's
your
right.
greatest thing. So you have to invest in them. So we spend time, whether it's one-on-one, 20, 200, 2,000, 20, you know, that's what we do in the exchange zone.
So as an athlete, so we've had a few folks on the show that were at either professional or collegiate athletes before, and then they transitioned to business. When you think about those transferable skills that you took from being an All-American track athlete, which skills would you say you use most in your new role as a founder of the CEO and founder of the Exchange Zone? And generally speaking, what skills are you using or what mindset are you locking into when you're in that boardroom or on that stage that's similar to when you were at the track?
Well, there's a lot of similarities between sports and the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
In sports and in the workplace, you have to prepare for what you're going to do.
Right.
You have to have clear, concise objectives. What's your win? What's your goal? What's your aim? And you go for it. You prepare for it. You go execute. In track and in speaking, I don't know which one I get more nervous doing, but you realize that if you prepare properly, the nerves don't paralyze you.
Yeah, or so is it, it's that. Nerves, but I always say, you know, you feel the same feeling in your body, excitement feels the same way. So
yes.
Are you nervous or are you excited, right? I mean, this
yes.
is always like a mind game you can play.
Okay,
anyway.
Yes, we're excited.
Yeah,
we
that's right,
excited
fired
because
up.
Because it's not about us. We want to make sure we do a good job, do what we prepared to do. And then you go out and execute. And that's what happens. It happens in sports and it happens in the workplace. How do you execute? Whatever that is, execution could be, did you get your P&L statement in? Did you get the legal document in? Did you get the marketing piece done? Whatever your goal is, whatever your objective is, have you met it? So you take those same skills, which I truly believe are transferable, and use them here. Do I miss competition? Yes. I miss lining up, take your mark, get set, the gun going off. I miss that, the adrenaline rush, the excitement. But now when you called and said, hey, can you host this show? I mean, that same feeling, I mean, it just bubbled
You're
all
like,
up.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I've been up all night. I went and worked out.
See,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
that's
I'm
what
fired
I like to
up.
Hear.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
I don't get this opportunity often, so
well,
I want to make
I
sure.
I appreciate that. So is there any, now you said 2018, you gave your first professional speech.
Right.
So is there any, whether it's from a professional speech or even a one-to-one coaching relationship, any experience with the client that stands out for you? That, I mean, it can stand out.
Yeah, there are a couple. So anytime you talk to somebody and they say, you know, you've increased our sales, we, you know, numbers don't lie. You know, since you've come in, sales have gone up 15-20%, whatever that is based on what you've shared with our staff. Or when you talk to a leader who says, you came in, you really helped galvanize the team. One of the ones that really excited me that I just can't shake, it's not business related. I went and spoke to some kids who were in juvenile detention.
Mm.
And after I got finished with the speech, there aren't any questions. And this kid said, when are you coming back?
Oh, that's sweet.
And that tugged at my heartstring. That pulled me. Yes, we like the accolades. We like the, you know, great speech. But when somebody who is incarcerated at 16 years old says, when you're coming back, that's when you know that. What you're doing.
Did you go back? Did you deliver?
I've not been back. I've not been back.
You shouldn't have told me because now I'm like, okay, when you went back.
I know. And,
yeah, you need to go back.
I will. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, okay. You're like, this was just 20 minutes ago, lady. No, but that's great. So, okay, in addition to getting ready, being prepared, like you say, you're speaking all over as we see on LinkedIn and on your website. So what else are you up to? What else are you doing that you're up to? How do you stay locked in and focused and recharged? Because you're not going to track practice, right? Like you did.
I'm not going to track practice, but I have to stay up on trends. I like to read. As you know, we talk about books and things. So what's the market? What's the market saying? I have two kids that keep me so busy, a senior in high school and an eighth grader who are involved in sports and all the things. Between that, trying to make sure I stay healthy, because you can't. The thing I like about I like golf. I like track. I like speaking. I like.
Don't go play golf with him, y'all. He's saying he likes golf, but he's actually really good.
No, but you can't be perfect at it. It's always
I didn't say perfect. I said really good.
Well, good is relative. The people I think are good at golf are on TV.
Okay, this go. Who was it? Glenn. Who said fool? Okay, no. I'm talking about everyday people who you see hacking away at the ball, tearing up these people's green. That's what we're talking to. He will beat you. Don't go play with him. Anyway, keep going.
I play the course. I don't play against you unless you start talking.
See, this is I play the course. That's something I would say. I like that. But yeah, that's next level. So you play golf, stay healthy, read.
Play golf, stay healthy, read. I enjoy cooking.
He can really cook too. Keep going.
I enjoy conversations. I just enjoy people. I just like people. I have a shirt. My saying is everybody's your customer. You just never know who you're going to meet, when you're going to meet them. And so you just enjoy those.
Okay. Well, that's great. All right. So how can people learn more about the Exchange Zone? And if they say, you know what, we're coming to the end of the year. People, if you're in sales and business development, you're planning for, you should be planning for 25 the first half of the year. How can they get connected with you if they want you to come in and speak to their executive team or sales team, et cetera?
So, number one, 24 is not over. So, I still do have a couple of dates. So, I just thought I'd throw that in there because I should. But if you want to reach me, my website is jamesbrownjr360.com. You can email me at james@jamesbrownjr360.com. Or if you want to call me, you know what? Just call me, 713-504-4590. And I do answer the phone, unless I'm on air with
Sean. Well, he likes people because I would never get my phone. Clearly, this is a testament that you actually like people. Because I'm like, is he really going to give his phone number?
Yes, that's great. My real number, too.
That's your real number. That's great.
1995. I've had that.
That's like a home phone almost.
Right. That's back in the day when the 713 number was given out.
Yeah.
Before there was 281, 346.
All the different ones. Yeah, well, I am so glad that, one, you said yes to coming to fill in for the lovely Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman today, and that you took a few minutes to tell us more about the Exchange Zone and how people can connect. Because you're right. This year is not over, and winners play all the way into the buzzer.
That's right.
You go to the buzzer.
Just like somebody indicated they went to sleep and missed the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not playing. I don't go sleep on my own games. I just knew what time it was based on the trend line. And I was like, what's most important? My rest.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So,
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
So let's talk about the Astrodome.
Yes.
What? Okay. This is a story that we've been rolling around for a long time. And it sounds like finally, I mean, when I say long time, I think like 20 years. Finally, we have landed on a vision to redevelop the Astrodome. What are we thinking? As a person who worked in venues.
We're thinking that we landed on something years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so this is not the first time we've landed on something. Okay. This is exciting. It's newsworthy. The Conservancy people have come together and put together this great plan to make it a multi-use space with family-friendly to get Houstonians to come in and take advantage of it, buildings inside. But it still has to get backing from. No, they said they're going to put buildings inside.
I'm listening.
But they still have to get backing from the rodeo and the Texans.
Mm.
And
D'Amico.
And then on top of that, well, it's
just Cal.
Yeah, there's probably more about Cal.
You know, it's a partnership. It's a
team.
It is a team.
And then it's still going to come down to how is it going to get funded? This project, I think, is estimated to be close to $1 billion.
Because nobody uses millions anymore.
Right.
Anyway, keep going.
No, we do big things here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go with $1 billion. And so who's going to fund it? They said public-private funding, so then the citizens have to go vote and decide if they want to do it or not do it. And
it just makes so much sense to me, and it's interesting how projects like the Astrodome Redevelopment Project, it seems to fail to launch when it's hard for me to see a downside. Of course you have to pay for it. I mean, you have to pay for all the things that you do. But the economic impact, mm-hmm. the location,
yes.
how central. I mean, there's so many checks. I am interested. I'm curious for those that don't think this is a good idea. What are the downsides? Because I just can't see any. And I'm pretty prudent. And I just don't see many downsides.
I don't know the downside. And to those people who say it's a financial burden to me, it costs between $100,000 and $200,000 for it just to sit there now.
Right. Right.
Annually. $100,000 to $200,000. Just to sit there. And so over the years, if you do that, just say it's been 10 years yet.
It's been a lot.
You could have made a significant impact. So one thing we know that I know you believe in is that standing still won't get anything done.
No.
So how do we
keep
moving?
You don't say that about I-10. You know, right. You know what I mean? Speaking of 610, right. speaking of things that just sit there.
Or that project they're about to do, 45 project. Yes.
Well, another project that we've been talking about, I don't know, for 10 years plus. So, okay, I think this could be good. And I think, you know, to the point that you made about the Harris County Sports Authority, the World Cup, and all these new things, this golden era of sports, I think that particular location is critical. Mm-hmm. And if we can get that right, I think that we will be on track to get many more large scale events that we know have huge economic impact to the city of Houston.
It certainly cannot hurt. And something needs to happen.
Something's got to give.
Since they won't let you tear it down.
And who is they?
The Texas State Archaeological landmark.
We're going to do some research on who are they that are a part of that organization, because we need to have a meeting with them, I think. Let's do some research and go to a break.
Okay.
We'll be back.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Astounds, and we invite you to dive into the dynamic world of digital marketing services with us. Astounds is not just an internet marketing service provider. We're your gateway to the future of online marketing. With our innovative approaches ranging from great website design to impactful online advertising and social media, we'll equip your business with the tools to grow. We want the opportunity to astound you. Grow your business online with us at astounds.com.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shivana Robert Schreiber.
Welcome back to Culture Club HTX with James Holland Nelson Brown and the magnificent, irreplaceable Shivana. Oh, you're supposed to say your own name.
No, I like to be introduced. Keep going.
Shivana Robert Schreiber.
Raising the roof. Can we still do that? Is that cool? No.
She's aging herself.
I'm a classic. That's classic.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're in community, which is one of our most favorite segments. And this week, we're going to start off doing a little recap. So earlier this week, at the end of the week, midweek actually, I was the co-host for the Search Homelessness Picnic with the Purpose, with Lisa Rich and her lovely, handsome, I guess you should think about that when you say a man, handsome husband, John. We honored my good friend, Cindy Marion, who got me involved with Search, probably 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was a fantastic event. I think we had almost 1,000 people there and our goal of $800,000. I am pretty certain we're still doing a little bit of counting and things are trickling in, but I'm pretty certain we're going to surpass it, which is fantastic. Such a great event for such a great cause. So, you know, we all talk about homelessness, but not many people really understand the complexity of the issue, the challenge. And Search is one of those organizations led by Alexis Levin and many other great professionals who do. So it was an honor for me to be a part of that and support. And I'm just really proud of what and the weather was in compliance. It was like I ordered it up.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was a really great event.
We have a great way of coming together.
So we do. We really do.
Houston knows how to come together and galvanize when we want.
I had this conversation with someone recently about not, it was kind of related to housing, not homelessness, but not too dissimilar. And we talked about just that, that Houston is truly unique in our ability to come together. Mm-hmm. We all think different things, you know, believe all that, but we will come together and galvanize around a cause.
Right.
Quickly, too.
Yes.
Like, we get mobilized very quickly, whereas other cities, like, you just can't get people to move as quick as we do. So we were talking about that and how that's such a gold star and something we should lean into. And I know we're going to talk about the Michelin guy, which came to Texas. And there
came
were
to Houston.
To, yes, let me be clear. Came to Houston. And at CERT, as a matter of fact, BCN, which got a Michelin star.
Yes.
Let me just tell you. So for any of you who think, oh, Michelin star, it's just marketing. No, no, no. I had a little tiny, I don't even think it was a bite. It was a half a bite size baby chocolate mousse thing from BCN. It was so good that I was thinking, oh, I'm just going to like, I had a coffee, so I'm thinking, oh, just like a little chocolate. And I stopped and looked at it. You know how something's so good you look at it?
Yeah.
I was like, what is in this? It was fantastic. So Michelin guy came to Houston, and what did they do, James?
They,
I feel like you feel strongly about this.
Well, I know Houston's restaurant scene is second to none. I know who gets all the notoriety across the country, but our culinary scene is bar none.
I agree. The
versatility, the level of service, the quality of food, it's bar none. So between Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Austin, Fort Worth, because you talk about how we galvanized, came together and helped fund a Michelin Awards for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out and ranked many, many restaurants. They gave one star. Nobody got above one star.
That's okay.
A Michelin one star is still...
You know why we did that?
Phenomenal.
We don't want anyone else to feel bad, right? I mean, we're still in that kind of culture where people don't want to make other people feel bad. That's fine. We'll take one star. I mean, it still takes a lot. So BCN, Taste and Tradition, Corkscrew, La Jardinée, March. Oh, so good. I haven't been there in forever. Tatimo? I've not been there.
Tatimo, yep.
Tatimo. I've not been there at all. And then Massifer?
Yeah.
Mucifer. I've not been there either. Magical, have you been to Mucifer?
No.
But you know it's good?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what we should do? We should do a Culture Club HTX restaurant tour of all the Michelin stars.
Yeah.
What? Are you okay over there?
Well, I mean, my name is James Holland Nelson Brown.
I mean, what do we think? We should do that. Well, and also you can cook, so the fact that you are, you know, like giving a nod to this.
I can cook, but this is some other level.
No, I know,
I mean,
but.
This is some other level stuff. I mean, these restaurants are, you know, for Houston to get six out of.
However many they give. Yeah, no, this is great.
Yeah.
So awesome. Some of the special awards, so the Houston-based...
Well, Houston got six, Austin got seven, San Antonio
what,
and Dallas
what?
Mostly got one.
What?
Yeah, so...
Whatever. Who got it in Dallas, just out of curiosity?
I don't know.
We know they got one, but we didn't
they
even...
Got one
we didn't care
Dallas,
to look to see who, because we don't actually care. But Steve McDonald from Papa's Brothers Steakhouse, he was celebrated.
Yes.
So that's another thing that the Michelin star program does. It's not just the restaurant on the whole, but it's the sommeliers there, the chefs, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty exciting. And as we lead up to these big events like the World Cup in 26, this all matters. And this all adds to the allure of coming to Houston and spending money in Houston.
Right. And I think one of the things they did in this, I think that may have surprised people, is some barbecue places made it. And then you start talking about our barbecue places versus, you know, Kansas City thinks they have it and North Carolina thinks this. And
Really? That's interesting. Huh.
Memphis thinks that, all those vinegar place sauce and stuff all over the place. Man, just smoke the meat, let the meat speak
so,
for
it's
itself.
So funny because this is such a thing. I wouldn't even think that I was like that kind of person, except for I had a meeting 2 weeks ago and the person that I was meeting with mentioned that they worked at a governmental entity in Kansas City. And the first thing I said was, so let's just be clear, we have the best barbecue. And then they made a big show to say, they were actually from New Orleans.
Oh,
but I was like, just to be clear, they're like, you know, this is a constant thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
That is.
I mean,
yes.
We're pretty proud folks here. But anyway, so I am really excited to try some of the restaurants that I've not been to.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, go to BCN for sure. So good. Such an interesting little spot in Montrose. And speaking of Montrose.
Well, hold on one second before you leave that, just real quickly, because if you can't afford the Michelin star restaurants, they did put together a list of places that have great value. And then they have some other ones that are highly recommended that are not quite star quality, but still great value. So look at the list.
Do you have any of them? Do we know? Or is it just on the website? You go.
It's
find
on
it.
The website.
Okay, no, this is great.
Yes. I know Killens made it, and Killens and Killens Barbecue, and don't make me start calling names. I think Blood Brothers. They're yes. I don't want to leave.
But some
out.
Did make. Oh, well, that's
yes,
good.
We had 17 that made the big.
You know what? We'll do that. We'll share that. We'll go and we'll pull okay. that link and we'll share that post show for people to go check it out. Yeah, awesome. That's a really good idea because yes. that is to your point to be a, to get a single Michelin star to be considered is already a high bar. And so the fact that these other restaurants, maybe they didn't get a star, but they're still excellent,
yes.
like really, really, really good.
Yes.
So yes, we will share that.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Back to Montrose.
Yes, back
so
to Montrose.
So Freed Montrose Neighborhood Library, they have this grand opening in the Montrose Collective that's starting in December. So Montrose, the did you realize that there was a public library on Montrose Boulevard?
No.
Many people don't. And so it is very near the University of St. Thomas. And it's I love libraries. I love how they smell. I love libraries. And so this particular library, they're moving. So they were at on Montrose Boulevard, and now they're right. moving to the Montrose Collective,
right.
which is still in Montrose, but off of California Street. And they're going to be opening in about a month, on December the right. 14th. And so the Houston Public Library, which many people don't realize, they went through sort of a transformation that started probably 5 or 6 years ago. So, I mean, the services they offer, many of which are free.
Right.
Children, for families,
right,
et cetera,
right,
adults,
right.
adult learning. So this new facility is going to have all of the bells and whistles and expanded community space, so
right.
for meetings.
Yes.
And this will be one of the first that addresses this aging infrastructure, which has been an issue, right? I mean, you know, I get it.
We've talked about it. If you stay yeah. still, you become irrelevant. And so you have to put technology in. You have to give open spaces, shared spaces, community spaces, adult spaces, kid spaces, art. I mean, it's a great great project. I can't wait to go check it out.
Well,
I don't like libraries as much as you, but
oh, I love them. It's like my favorite. It was my favorite thing. It is still one of my favorite things to do. I have a library card, an actual physical card. Is that like raising the roof? Did I like date myself?
Yeah,
it's called a power card. Anyway, so one of the things about the library that's really interesting is that they have a permanent art installation. And I think this is particularly interesting and important as it relates to education and students.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because as we know, often the programs that get cut in like public education are arts and things like that.
Right.
So the fact that the public library, which, like I said, offers so many free, wonderful amenities, also is going to have a permanent art installation entitled The Spirit of Montrose, I think is fantastic. Because then you combine, you feed two birds with one seed. You read and you do.
Yes. And it gives people options.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. Everybody may not like to eat. Some people may like different cultural things. And to have this opportunity with this investment for this new library, this Freed Montrose Library, is going to be absolutely outstanding for the community and for the neighborhood.
Well, and so the next thing we want to talk about in community, which I'm glad that you're here because Lisa wouldn't even talk about this, is that Texas A&M University, they
yes.
got a historic gift to rename their College of Medicine.
Yes. And the medical program, well, our medical center is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bar none. People all around the world come to our medical center. And then to add this, and then they do an engineering medical program through Texas huh. A&M, which is absolutely outstanding. So when you start huh. thinking about robotics and the things that could happen,
oh,
the
right.
technology with medicine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
right.
I know we just put in this new heart that is
oh,
not a real heart.
Yeah,
I heard,
yeah, we talked about that. That's right.
So when you start thinking about that and giving people opportunity early on, and it was such a great gift, they didn't even say how much it was. And he's not even a doctor.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
So it's
and
really,
speaking
really
of
cool.
this also speaks to the philanthropic, you know, galvanizing yeah. force that is Houston too. So yeah, you know, I just think that this is, again, I continue. You know, one of the reasons why we started this show is because we thought that there were so many wonderful things that happened in the city of Houston that aren't always amplified.
Right.
So some of these like hidden gems, like you know, if you're in the community, in
right.
the medical community, maybe, or in the education community, you may know about the library, but not broadly.
Mm-hmm.
So our whole mission is to bring these things up to the surface where everybody has, you know, just a high level understanding
right.
of some of
Absolutely.
The great things that are happening. And so as it relates to healthcare, so one, we literally have the best medical center mm-hmm. in the world, and people yeah. travel from all over to come and see it. I also think that the tourism that this, I mean, I know sometimes it's not like the most positive reason to be coming to the city of Houston, but the fact that people see this as a refuge, like
Absolutely.
They come here to get the best treatment, right. innovation, research, I think says a lot. And the fact that we didn't just reach that level and then drop off,
right.
we have consistently been at the top. And I think this
continue
is,
to expand and grow
yes.
and become bigger and better and not afraid to, they say, get out the box, just throw the box out and let's see what's available that we have. And so
So here we go. Yes. So again, we are only able to talk about this because the lovely isn't here. But Texas A&M continues their leadership in helping us address some of these statewide healthcare challenges. And we're really excited about it. And with that, we'll be back. I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here to talk to you about my other gig, CEO of SNR Creative Advisory. At SNR Creative, we're an elite team of seasoned professionals with one simple mission: partnering with our clients to creatively solve problems. Whether it's help with your business development, updating your communication strategy, or navigating a shift related to business transformation, our team of experts are here to help you think through that transition and execute it seamlessly. To learn more, visit snr-creative.com.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with
James Holland-Nelson Brown Jr. I'm going to ride that all day. I'm sitting in the chair, so I'm going to be all
day. I love it. You have a Mac. Yeah. The only thing, you know what, you really would be embodying the lovely Lisa if you had a phone ring right now.
I heard that. I made sure do not disturb.
Yeah, last your phone were to ring, and then if it were Fran or Sandra, then I mean, it would be like, Lisa, is that you? Because that's exactly what happens.
So I purposefully turned it off.
Well, thank you. Yes. So we're in Lisa's favorite food group, which is the fashion section, and we're starting off with her favorite human other than me and Laura and Henry, but whatever.
If he wins two games in a row, you all might be bumped back down.
Probably. C.J. Stroud, he has the top-selling jersey in the NFL, which was a little bit surprising to me. Like, I don't know. Are you surprised by this?
When I read it, I was. But then I thought about who he is and what he represents. It makes a lot of sense.
Well, so, what does he represent other than crossing his arm and losing games? Talk to me.
He's
what?
6-4. He's a second-year player, but he is so approachable, so calm, so cool.
He's every man.
And to everybody. I mean, if you listen to him talk, he never seems like he's in a rush. He just seems like one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not above everybody else. And then with the rebrand that the Texans did, you know, with the new H and the stuff, I mean, who wouldn't want to be with somebody who's so cool? When we start talking about who our role models are, he would certainly be somebody who would say, you know what? On the surface, he looks like a good guy.
Yeah, this is good. You know what sealed the deal for him? He said, now hopefully this is true. I'm going to be gracious in my assumptions and say this is true. That someone asked him, what does he listen to before games? He said gospel music.
Yes. He's never.
That just like that, right? He's probably going to be
forever. He's a football player whose job is to share the love of God.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, that was it.
And he's good, though.
Yeah,
I mean, there's 1,600 players in the league, and you know, you can name a small handful who you would take above him. But even with that, he's new, he's fresh, he's cool, he's hip,
approachable. I think that does matter.
He does look very approachable when you think about the culture that he's brought. Now, look, here we go again. Culture Club HTX.
I see what you're doing. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, but when you think about who he is and what he's done. Popularity, winning does that. I know we've lost 4 games this year. We're still not out of it. We're going to continue to sell jerseys.
I was a little bit surprised, but now that you've made those points, you know what? You're right. I mean, and I think that's the thing. I think for so long when we would look at professional athletes, like we meaning like sort of the collective we, it was like this sort of, they're living a different life, right? Different world. And CJ bridges that gap.
Right.
And I think that is true, where people can wear his jersey because they feel like if they saw him, he would give them a high five.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not a prima donna with his.
This is fair. Okay, so something that is a little bizarre in the fashion world. So AI can now authenticate sneakers by their smell. So
this was nuts.
Okay.
And I would have thought this was far-fetched, except, you know, when you get a certain age, which I've crossed, I took my Achilles, and my wardrobe ended up changing to sneakers. So now I'm working on my shoe game slowly but surely. And sneakers being fake is huge. So if you pay $500, $600, $700, $800 for a pair of shoes and realize they're not real, that's a problem.
So, okay. So we talk. So Lisa would say that there's nothing new in fashion since the Leaf. But as we now know by the story that we're talking about right now, this whole technology with this AI and the smell of the chemical compounds in the shoe are meant to basically sniff out, literally.
Right. Literally. Pun totally intended.
If it's counterfeit.
Correct. But that it goes beyond shoes. Okay, so let's talk handbags.
Uh-huh.
Think about all the fake handbags are out there. This technology would do the same thing for handbags.
Is so that where would this technology be? That's what I'm, I guess I'm like, what, is it like at the point of sale? Is it
so
at your friend's Christmas party? Like, where is
so
this?
So there's a huge secondary market in shoes.
And sneakers in particular. Sneakers,
yes, yeah. And sneakers.
Like people
and,
collect them.
And in handbags.
Yeah, true, true.
And,
true.
And we're going to talk about timepieces in a minute, but there's a huge secondary market. So if you can say before you sell these for, and I'm they're not talking about like some $20 shoes.
Right, that,
you
right, know, right.
These are significant
expensive
investments.
Yeah.
And if you can get them authenticated before you purchase, number one, it drives the value up, but it also gives you, let you know what it's really worth versus you paying that and not being able to say, well, wait a minute, this is not right.
Oh, this is so interesting. And so I guess before this AI-powered authentication, humans were imagining. I mean, I'm just here to say, I would cuss somebody out. Like, what? It smells fake. Sir, sit down.
Well, they do. I don't know what that even means.
Like, I mean,
it's not real. Just
no,
think
but
about
I'm saying,
handbags.
But like a human saying,
well, I don't know
fake.
If they don't do it by smell. And this is some whole chemical thing. I don't know how they tell.
Like, come on,
but
y'all.
When you have a handbag and if somebody's trying to sell you one, there are some things that you do to say, you know what, this is not real.
Yes. This, I just think it's interesting. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how the market accepts this, meaning like the public market, the masses, gen pop.
It's not for the masses. This is for a specific, eclectic group of people who trade sneakers, just like the people who do secondary handbags. Oh, that's not general. They're not going to be in the parking lot of your favorite grocery store saying, let me check your shoes to make sure they're right.
Walking
no.
by with right. my little.
You yeah, know, you know, like the dog at the airport.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to have AI.
No. Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay, I just think it's interesting. We'll see what happens.
Those aren't real. Whatever your brand of choice.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting. I think it's interesting, and I think it's going. If it works, it's going to expand, right? So this verification of whether or not this is luxury or not is going to expand. Like it's sneakers now. You talked about handbags. I think it's going to expand.
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned watches, and actually you said timepieces. So I was like, I like that. It's very distinguished.
Well, I know who I'm with.
Yeah, timepieces, you know, which I appreciate.
I know the company that I keep.
Well, you know, this is good. So one of the things, this is true. I was at a watch event the last time, just a couple months ago, Zadix had its annual watch event, and I go in. And so this story is all about the watch industry failing to make models of watches that women want. And this is true. There was a watch that I went in, not this last time, but before, went in for, and I loved it, but it was too, literally, physically too big for my, like, they couldn't, there was no sort of alteration that could be made for the band to fit me.
Wow.
And that is pretty common, actually. And I mean, I do kind of have small wrists, but in general, it's pretty common. So anyway, Deloitte did a study along with Watch Femme, and they revealed that, in general, the watch industry is failing to cater to women, which I think, now, finally, people realize that, like, I have enough timepieces to be an official collector, I think. And so I think that for a long time, people thought about watches, timepieces, and they thought of men.
Right.
They didn't think about women. And I feel like we make up a big part of the market. And so I'm glad that at least they've done this survey to realize this. Now, we'll see. What happens? Like, it's kind of like the astronome, right? I mean, we get there, we do a lot of speculatory talk, and then, like, what's going to happen?
They realized that women could increase sales, and anytime you start talking about money, that moves.
Right.
Maybe AI can smell your watch and see if it's legitimate or not.
Yeah. Well, maybe the
I mean, not band, like your timepiece.
Your timepiece, right. Well, and so here's the thing. It's a huge missed economic opportunity,
right,
which I think this is what's going to get their attention. So global watch sale reached about $48 billion in Swiss franc. And then there's a whole other pre-owned market that's another $24 billion.
Right.
And if you're missing, and that's as it is, and if you're not tapping into half of the population, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That you're leaving on the table.
And that will move the needle. But men are probably the ones who are in leadership, and we tend to make decisions based on what we think.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother segment.
Yeah, but you know what? This is actually really interesting. And I do, now that you say that, I'm thinking about from a board level at some of these, you know, sort of long-standing, very respected watch manufacturers, how this the study and this research is going to change how they approach catering to us, you know, this audience, this demographic of women. I think this it's just really interesting. And in general, when it talks about, you know, luxury retail, I think, well, I feel like women, we've led in luxury retail and obviously like handbags and probably shoes for a long time, right? And I think guys, though, to the point you made about sneakers, I do feel like men have, because of sneakers, and that's become such a thing that I feel like men and women, men have probably just as many shoes as women, right? Yes. Where it used to be a time where it was like the woman had all the shoes and the guy had like you know, five
two pair of tennis shoes.
Yeah,
right.
And
except
that's it.
Now when you get into the sneaker world and then your wife is like, well, where are my shoes? Every time you get a box, I need a box. And so then you have to do that.
So then do you hide your purchases in your trunk?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I
go to the door first.
I refuse. I plead the Fifth Amendment.
Because
I know that's a thing among partnered women.
But I learned from women, though, how
would hide new purchases.
If I were to do it, I learned from some of the best.
Well, they'd hide new purchases and then like wait 3 months to wear it and be like, oh, I've been
this
having this.
Thing?
Because then it's true. Is that technically a lie? Like,
correct.
It's, you've had it, but it is still new. But anyway, so I think in this luxury retail space as it relates to watches, I'm interested to see what happens. I have to call AJ over at Zadig to be like, hello, what do we think about this? Right, because I think that, again, the economic opportunity for women buyers is huge. And so if the watch market starts to cater a bit more, just a few more models, that's all we ask.
We'll see who gets to market first and see what they do.
Yeah,
and that'll determine and dictate.
Yeah, hopefully it's a brand that I like, though, because if it's not, then that's not going to matter to me. But anyway.
Is it brand or is it style?
I can go deep track on this, right? So it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So I have, you know, different timepieces for different reasons, and certain brands are better at certain types of timepieces for different, and also value, right? Because of investments.
Right.
So also, you know, certain brands retain their value more. And is it the one? No, not this one. But I have a watch that when I bought it, it's already worth twice as much now, and I bought it pre-owned.
Wow.
I mean, so it's like, it's a whole thing. So I can go deep track, which we won't do because you know what? We're at our hour.
Already?
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Already.
Well, thank you so much.
It's been
fun,
right?
This has been, just wonderful.
And it goes by so fast,
It does go by so fast.
Well, you know how to close? Do you know what we say? You listen to the show.
Nope.
Stay.
Yes. I know it's fashionable.
Nope.
Fashionable is in there.
No. Oh,
it
gosh.
Is.
Oh, have mercy. No. It's we want you to stay focused.
Right.
Stay fit.
Right.
And stay fabulous.
Fabulous, not fashionable. Yes. I'm nervous.
Okay. Well, you have been at the end of the show. Well, I'm nervous. That's why I don't know the ending. You have been a fantastic co-host. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You have done Lisa proud. I'm sure she's going to listen. And what's your name again?
James Holland Nelson Brown Jr.
Excellent. And with that, we hope that you have a great rest of your week ahead. Go Texans.
Go Texans.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Do you love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.